Scripture reading is taken from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. The word of the Lord.
Well, we welcome you all today. Thank you for coming to Weston Park. If you're visiting with us, we thank you for coming. There are lots of places you could be today, so thanks for making an effort and coming here on this beautiful fall day. It's lovely. Lots of sunshine. The leaves are finally beginning to kind of really catch color, so it's a good time to be in Toronto. Today, finish up our series on the book of Galatians, so we got one more week. And then actually through November, we're going to take 4 weeks to consider the theme of God and his passion for social justice. His concern we're looking at today for not growing tired and doing good. And so I want us to kind of sit with that a little bit. And so Beth read a very famous piece from Amos 5. So we're going to spend a few weeks as we head towards Advent to realize and remember that we have a calling which is beyond looking inside, but also a calling that invites us to look beyond. As Paul says here, to do good for everyone, especially for those in the faith, but to do good to all. So we'll be doing that and looking that way in the month of November, December 1st, or that first Sunday in December, we start Advent. So then we'll do 4 or 5 Sundays on the Advent theme. So I want to begin with a text from Martin Luther King, Jr. He writes, "We are prone to judge success by the index of our salaries or the size of our automobiles, rather than by the quality of our service and relationship to humanity." So we might switch some of those words today, 50 years later. But certainly we do judge success often by our income, by amount of money we make, maybe also by the homes we live in, where we live. We judge each other, that's a strong word. But we look at each other through that lens. I think he's quite accurate there. Rather than by the quality of our service in relationship to humanity. So that, how do we live? What's important to us? How do we judge or view success? How do we see that in our own lives? That's really where Paul is going as he closes, getting to the end of his book. Remember, Galatians is his first book. First book he wrote to this central section of Asia Minor, which would be the country of Turkey. We hear a lot about Turkey in the news these days. Well, a lot of these letters of Paul were going to the people who inhabited those lands. Certainly Galatia was right in the middle of all that. So it's an interesting text, invites us to consider some valuable themes. So there are two organizing principles as we begin. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. So in that verse, two organizing principles. The first one, God is not mocked, or God is not deceived. God does not stray. Interesting, the word mock there actually is lifting up your nose. It's an image of a pig. I don't know how much we are around pigs, but pigs, they're long snout and they kind of go up like that. In Bolivia, I remember visiting a home, and it was a rural home, and it was all done in adobe. And right outside of their of their main, they had two rooms. Right around the corner was where they kept the animals, and there was this massive pig. And so the pig might as well have been right in the living room. I mean, he was like 10 feet away. A big guy gets right up in your face. I mean, they're big animals. And up they go. God is not mocked. The snout. It's a strong, kind of strong word. We don't see it so much in an urban setting today. But it means God is not tricked. God is not manipulated. God knows everything. He knows all about our lives. He knows all about our actions. He knows all about our stumbles. He knows all about the good things that are going on. God sees all. Paul is reminding of that. God is not mocked. Second principle, you reap what you sow. So this is an agricultural metaphor, and there's a repetition here of reaping four different times in our text. He's trying to get at it. Again, in a rural world, that would make sense to a lot of people. But you go outside of Toronto, we got all kinds of rural space. As you head on up to Tobermory, you go through a lot of it. Reap and sow. It's a principle in life. So if you sow potatoes, you're going to get potatoes, you know what I mean? And potatoes actually come from the Andes, eh? We often think, as an Irishman, I think, well, they must come from Ireland. Not really. They came from the Andes. Potatoes were brought over by the folks who were trying to find gold and so on back in the 1500s, 1600s. They couldn't find any gold right away, but they found potatoes and they brought them back. So he goes to the king, I don't have any gold for you, man, but I got lots of potatoes. King wasn't very happy, shipped them off on another boat. Go find me the gold. They finally did find that gold. In Bolivia, actually. Big volcano. The city of Potosi, and most of the Spanish gold came from that volcano. Anyway, you sow and you reap. You sow potatoes, you're going to reap potatoes. So it's a principle in life, and it's the same for us. So God is not mocked, Paul reminds us. And secondly, what you sow is what you reap. It's not meant to be a scary thing. That's just the way it is. You sow and reap. We do it all the time. Paul says, all right, let's remember that as we live our lives. So he begins that way. Challenge is we tend to somehow rationalize ourselves. And we think that those principles don't really apply. So maybe I can trick God. My life seems to be going on all right. Maybe I can. Challenge, remember, is there's a time difference between sowing and reaping. So during that time span, we can forget that what we sow, we reap. So Paul is just reminding the church in Galatia, this is where we're at. So let's just recognize the truth. That's the case. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So sowing and reaping, two examples. Here's the first example. Well, we can sow to the flesh. And remember, we've talked about the flesh. All the flesh is referring to is your false self. It's your ego, basically. When you act out of your ego, when you act out of self-preoccupation, all I am doing, my world, a narcissistic view of our world, which is very real, we're self-preoccupied. When I just live that way, that's what Paul means, you're living according to the flesh. When I'm only thinking about me, and I live my life only in terms of me, then that is how we're going. So it's a focus on self and living apart from God. We're living as if God doesn't really matter. He's not there. And so we see this in the works of the flesh, quote, back in chapter 5, 19 to 21. And remember that over half of these descriptors are about how we are living in relationship with one another. Here they are. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. All these things where all I'm concerned is about how I'm doing, what I want, what I need. And so Paul talks about these things. He calls them the works of the flesh, but it's really the works of putting yourself first. Whatever I want, whatever sensation I want it, so I'm going to grab it. I don't care how it impacts other people. You see, that's the works of the flesh. And again, over half of them are about how we relate to one another. Hence, Paul says, love everyone, but especially the community of faith. He says that because he's talking to the community of faith, and there's a lot of division in the community of faith. And so he emphasizes that. It's not that we shouldn't love everyone. We just love the church and forget everybody else. No, we love everyone. We're called to love everybody, but especially the church, because you're so messed up. So remember, love one another. So there's the field of the flesh. We can sow to the field of the flesh. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, how does that apply to ourselves? May apply, may not apply. Sowing to the field of flesh. Secondly, we can sow to the Spirit, which reaps life. The field of the Spirit. Living in a manner where God is honored. So again, you go back to Galatians 5, and we hear these beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Verses 22, 23. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul adds, there is no law against such things. All of those things, Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. That's how we are called to live. So sow in the field of the Spirit. Don't sow in the field of the flesh. Sarkos. False self. You can call it what you want, but that's what it is. It's all about me. Sowing to the Spirit reaps life. It's the word zoe. Reaps eternal life. Life and life and life, abundant life. God is the creator of life. Wants you and I to live, wants us to live forever with Him, to always know His love, not just this little life of 60, 70, 80, 90 years, however long it goes, 100 maybe. Beyond all of that, to reap life, be transformed, Paul says in Romans 12, 2. Transformed is the word metamorphosis. As a butterfly transformed from a cocoon into an amazing butterfly. Imagine a little cocoon, you know, crawling along a leaf, can hardly move. It's transformed, and all of a sudden, man, becomes this butterfly, just flying about. Metamorphosis. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration is metamorphosized, the very same word. That's what Paul is saying. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Every one of us are invited to know and experience this amazing, amazing life that is eternal. Which isn't just quantity, but it's a whole new experience of life, of fullness, abundance. So Paul says then, remember that because it's super important. Don't sow in the field of the flesh, but make it your mind to sow in the field of the Spirit. So that speaks about our choices. The power of choice. The power to say yes. The power to say no. Not to be indifferent, but to make our choice. So I appreciated John's comment on the election tomorrow. You're going to have a chance. Make a choice. See what I mean? It's important to get out there and make a choice. Not be indifferent, make a choice. Many, many Canadians don't vote at all. And we don't vote and we forget that all around the world people are fighting for the opportunity to vote in a country where it actually is listened to. It counts. In Bolivia, there's a big election today. Evo Morales is the president, and he is being the president, I think, for 14 years now. And the law has always been, well, you can only be president for 2 terms. Evo has kept switching that. So now he's going into his 4th term, and he wants that. In many ways, I think Evo Morales has been good. But he keeps changing the rules so he can be in. And so there's a vote. But if you vote on the other side, that vote's not going to mean too much, because he's got the power and the control, and believe me, Evo Morales will get in and he will win his 4th term. Doesn't matter. The power of our choice, sowing in the spirit, not sowing in the flesh, Paul says. All right, so we connect that with this invitation to goodness, which is what Beth was reading, those wonderful verses from Amos and from Micah, to do good. And here there are 3 sets of 2s. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, everybody, and especially for those of the family of faith, for the reasons that I've already said. So 3 sets of 2. Here's the first set. Verse 9 and 10, do what is right and work for the good of all. Do what is right and work for the good of all. Use your strength for the well-being of everybody. Work for the good of all, no matter what field you're in. If you're a teacher, you are working for the good of all, for all of those students. If you're leading a team at work, you are working for the good of all of those people in your team. If you're on a line, you're working with all those people on the line, and you want to do good, treat them well, treat them with respect. As we all do that, then our seed of faith grows and grows and grows, and there is a harvest of goodness. We have an impact. All of us have a sphere of influence. Everybody. You and your family. You and your contacts at school. You and your contacts with your neighbors. Whatever it is, you have influence there. And we're invited to do it in a way where people see goodness. Where people are not tripping over your ego. They're not tripping over just what I want, but how you can actually be good and demonstrate that to others. Do what is right, work for the good of all. That makes sense, don't you think? We want to do that. Don't you want to do that? Yeah, sure we do. So we hear Paul on that. Great, do what is right, work for the good of all. Secondly, second set, do not grow weary and do not give up. Do not grow weary. Do not give up. At times we feel like giving up. Isn't that true? Because why? Because we get weary. We get disheartened. We get discouraged. We physically get tired. So we say, let someone else do it. I'm going to let someone else do it because I'm tired. I don't want to serve in the nursery because I'm tired. I don't want to serve in the nursery because I'm a little sad or discouraged, whatever it might be. Paul says, do not grow weary, do not give up. And also, I add there the word anger. Do not give up because we're angry. Let's not stop being involved in the church community because we're angry. Anger is part of that. Paul identifies it, right? 7 or 8 times talking about tension in the church family. Do not grow weary. Do not give up. Do not grow lax. Paul says in another place, keep being zealous. Keep being zealous. So where are we? You need to hear that, right? That's the second set of two. And then Paul says, all right, two times the word time, and the word time is kairos. Remember in Greek there are two words for time, chronos, clock time, kairos, a special time, a time of opportunity. That word kairos is used both times here. At harvest time, or the word opportunity is actually that kairos, the time of opportunity. At harvest time, the time of opportunity, what you have sown will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. At the right time, it will bear fruit. And what Paul is reminding us here, I think, is something important because we don't always talk about it, but in our Christian faith, a core belief is that we will all stand before God and we will have a rendering of our lives. Now, if we know Jesus, if we are abiding in Christ, this standing before God is not in terms of are you saved or not. That's not the point. Our salvation is based in Jesus. It's His. We're transformed. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See what I mean? We are liberated in Jesus. That's the great yes. We give our yes. Nevertheless, we stand before God. And God is going to just be with us. We're going to talk. We're going to have a long conversation. Now, that can be a little bit scary because we've all messed up, right? But we're trusting in God. We're trusting in His compassion and love. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Perfect. Paul, if anybody, could be nervous of being uptight standing before God. But nevertheless, what we sow, we reap. So Paul is reminding us, okay, just be aware of the facts, man. Be aware of the truth. We're going to stand before God. So let's live our lives in a way that we won't be embarrassed when we're standing before God. Let's try our best to do what is right, to do what is good. We are fragile. We're all going to screw up. We all know that. Yes, yes, God's not looking for perfection, but He is looking for compassion. He is looking for love. So then let's live in a way that we can say, well, I did my best. I did my best. And Jesus is our advocate, and then, you know, we're okay. We're okay. Therefore, there is no condemnation. We hold on to that. Yes, for sure, because of Jesus. At the same time, we sow and we reap. So when you're out in your world, everybody's world is different. Let's just keep sowing goodness. Let's sow seeds, righteousness, love, kindness. Make a difference in your team. I remember a man working way, 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 way back in the Ministry of Transportation, the summer jobs, you know what I mean? On Keel Street at 401 when all those garages used to be there. Some guy actually tried to teach me how to weld. That was the scariest experience he ever had in his life. I had things, fire flashing everywhere. Actually, he said, go out there and cut that thing in half. I went out there and I started a massive fire. The whole thing went up in fire. The guys are shaking their heads, you know. He says, enough of that. You're off the welding, Alan. No more. Seriously, that's a true story. The manager came by and said, I don't want him doing that. It's true. Wow. But I remember when I was working in that garage, the welder, actually, the guy who was teaching me welding, said, I'm just talking, interesting. He said to me, how come you never swear? Because the language around that place was pretty blue, you know what I mean? Everybody swore. He says, I notice you don't swear. How come you don't swear? You know, what are you going to say, right? I mean, well, you know, I just use different words, right? I mean, blah, 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 blah. But whatever, his point was, well, you're a little bit different. I don't know what it is about you, but you're a little bit different. But we try to sow seeds of righteousness and goodness wherever we are. We're trying to do that in our community, right? We're trying to do that next door. That's what we're going to do. It's all about sowing seeds of goodness and righteousness. And the good news is, when you do it, there's going to be a good payout at the end, man. You're going to get a good investment at the end, man. So hang in there. At times you're going to think, why am I doing this? Nobody else is doing it. You're going to get a good payout. It's a good investment. We reap what we sow. So we hear that. So as we conclude, what does it mean? Well, we are invited to participate in God's great work. Act, choose, be engaged, live in a way where Jesus is shown. Martin Luther King comes back and he says this, "It is still one of the tragedies of human history that the children of darkness are frequently more determined and zealous than the children of light." Now that should not be the way it is. We should be more zealous sowing seeds of goodness than those who are sowing seeds of darkness. In Regina right now, apparently there's all kinds of crime going on. And there was a special on interviewing with cops, policemen. And they were saying, you know, in our experience, what's happening, and at least in Regina, is that it's a small number of people who are doing all these crimes. He says, our police officers know who they are. They're all known. So then we arrest them and lock them up, and then after a little while, they're out again, and they do the same thing. They were saying the system needs to change. It's not like everybody out there is doing all kinds of bad stuff, but there are a bunch who are, and it's hard to deal with that. What does that say? It says they're determined. They are determined and zealous in what they are doing. And at times, they're more zealous and more determined than we are. So we are to be agents of change, influential for God and for His kingdom. Do our little bit. You add your stitches, I add mine, and the tapestry that Christ is weaving finally comes to completion. Change agents for Him, ambassadors of light. May that be our response, and especially in relationships with one another, because we will keep stumbling out there if we're stumbling over each other here. So Paul says, hey, love especially those in the community of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.